My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first-timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change-ups, the cast won't break up. Even with that million-dollar contract, show up a stand-up guy who's a stand-up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher A. Lambert, recording this particular edition on Sunday, March 31st, 2024. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Give this show a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you would like to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and subscribe. It's $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 712. There's no guest. It's just me. I'm not sitting in my apartment. I am on location in beautiful Atlantic City, New Jersey, on a nice Easter Sunday. Beautiful skies, a little windy, but a beautiful day nonetheless. Any day that you wake up and you're above ground, it's a beautiful day. And just wanted to start off by saying happy Easter to everybody. If you celebrate, happy Ramadan. Looking forward to see if Ramadan Kyrie Irving preserves his high play after he's been able to eat, after he's done fasting. I want him to continue to ball out to make the Western Conference more fun. So maybe the Nuggets won't win. Let's see. What are the NBA rankings? I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm starting the show off already by, there's six. So, the Timberwolves are at the top? I didn't know that. Okay. So the Timberwolves, Thunder, Nuggets, Clippers. It could be the Nuggets again because they're battle tested, but it is going to be a fun playoff season. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the women's. I'm going to get into that later, but I wanted to start off by saying just what a tragedy last week with that Francis Scott Key Bridge. That was horrible. The only silver lining is that it wasn't during rush hour. Insomnia happened to be kicking my ass that morning. And I just remember seeing the homie, Sarome Russell, post about it. I was like, whoa, what is going on here? And he's not somebody that's like salacious and wild on the internet. So I was like, let me just go and look. And I went, Googled. And then, there was that bridge collapse. It just looked like everything. It was horrible. So, my heart goes out to those people that lost their lives, the construction workers, and just the families for everybody involved. That was fucking horrible. I don't know that I've really gone over that bridge that much, but I am someone who travels down 95. I've been doing it now for going on 16 years since being back on the East Coast. It's a part of my life, and I'm from Maryland and all of that, you know, so it sucks, man. R.I.P. to Lou Gossett Jr., first black actor to win the Best Supporting Actor Oscar. Paved the way. He had 87 rotations around this thing, this planet called Earth, and I saw that pop up. I was like, damn, man. But great actor, really talented. I enjoyed a lot of his stuff. I remember when I was opening for Chris Hardwick in Philly, I went to Jim Subs. And I had never gone to a Philly cheesesteak spot. That was my first time. It's about maybe 11 years ago now. And it was intense. I said to the crowd afterwards, there was like this game 7 energy to order a cheesesteak. And the guy had this like Lou Gossett Jr. energy that was pretty intense. So, I don't have a Lou Gossett Jr. story, but I think of that when I think of him, in the past 10 years or so, I think about that, where a guy who looked like Louis Gossett Jr., reminded me of that, being really like a really super intense dude and great actor. I think he's probably a nice guy in real life. Seemed like it. I don't know how long this thing's going to be, but I am here. I had to do an audition. My apologies for the non-1201 release of the episode, but it's Sunday. I like Rob Hayes, what he does. He calls his podcast The Inconsistent Podcast. It's up when it's up, and you listen to it whenever it gets posted. But I try to get these out on Sundays. My life has been in flux for quite some time, and I'm trying to get back to some normalcy and delivering you a high-quality podcast. I do not have my microphone. I'm doing this lo-fi recording this on my phone, and then I'm going to transfer it and try to clean the audio up a little bit, but if it sounds kind of weird, it's because I'm in a hotel with no mic. I just try to pack light when I go places, but I tried to even play my PlayStation 5 remotely. I have the app on my computer, on my laptop here, and the signal just isn't strong enough. It would turn on and I would be like, oh, shit. And then it would say, your connection's lost. And I'm like, dang it. So didn't get to play PlayStation. Well, I have not played PlayStation in a long time. So I thought I was going to be able to do it, but it just doesn't work here. The homie Rod texted me and said that he finally got Forspoken because it's on sale. And I was like, oh shit, now that Rod's got it, I got to play it. I got to finish it so we can talk about it. So I need to just get back to gaming and having some fun on the PS5. But this weekend's been good. I have 3 shows here in Atlantic City. My last one is tonight at 7. They've been good. It was good to get back up on, get back down here, get on stage and work out a little bit on Friday. I got down here Friday and it was good. It was a solid show. Last night was a better show, but except with the exception of these like 2 drunk people in the front. I didn't notice them until I had maybe 3 to 5 minutes left in my set, and I didn't try to take them down or be mean. I don't know if you do that kind of, they weren't heckling because they weren't being mean. It wasn't like the last time I was down here where this guy said, this black dude was like, you're the worst comedian I've ever seen in my life. And he left and he was trying to, but the crowd didn't agree with him because I was having a great set. I think I talked about that the last year it happened. That was the first time that happened. I've been booed before, but nothing. And I've been not paid attention to, but not like, you're the worst. I think that was, but you keep moving on. I came back to the scene of the crime, and I did like two or three other shows after that. So I wasn't, the guy didn't bring me down. But the shows have been good. Those with the drunk people, I think, bothered the other two comics because I think they were just getting started. And but they were, it was good. I had a good set. My girlfriend came down for Saturday. We hung out. One thing I've done that I've never done, she wanted to play the slots. She's not a gambler either. But she came and I spent like $40. We lost $40. And I have not done the slot machine in over 20 years, I think. I think when my dad was with me to see Alicia Keys, I think we hung out at Hard Rock. And we played some slots. But what I can remember, we played miniature golf. And we went to the, like, Hard Rock Cafe or something, or Planet Hollywood 8. I don't remember. But I don't know if we did or not now. But now, you know, 20 years later, they get a card, like your membership card. And I should have been doing this for so many years that I've been coming down here. And you can accumulate points and stuff when you spend money and all that jazz. And I just didn't know because I don't really gamble. But anyway, she got on this slot machine. We both did one where she did this thing. And it just ate all of our money. It just ate that $20 within like 5 minutes. I kind of had a little more luck where she cashed out with a dollar on the slot she played. And then we were just trying to look for one. There's tons of them all around on the casino floor. And I picked one, an NFL slot machine. And I held my own for a little bit, and then it just zapped my money. I don't think I really understand that shit. I think I might have been better off if I just bet on women's college basketball, which someone made fun of. One of my buddies made fun of me about 2 years ago. But I think I should have just bet on some hoops, which I've been enjoying. I was watching a bunch yesterday and on Friday night. Man, these girls are really good, and I'm not saying it to try to like blow smoke or try to be positive, like woke or try to be fucking woke or anything like that, but just it has been enjoyable. Those games are really close until somebody pulls away. If it's like not a blowout, the top seed team seems to weather the storm of the lower ranked team. And when they make mistakes, they capitalize it. Like this girl, Juju Watkins for USC, like she kind of, they were saying she wasn't scoring for a while. And because I caught like the last half, and then she was just distributing the ball while she wasn't scoring. She made plays when she needed to make the plays. And she's legit. She's a true diaper dandy, like the great Dick Vitale used to say. And she made the plays when they needed to make plays. Baylor, who, you know, Kim Mulkey left a few years ago, they stuck with LSU for a bit, and then they started to pull away. Angel Reese and Flo-Jie had, they were doing their thing. It was a good game. I didn't get to see UConn. I just noticed that I watched some of Iowa. That was a blowout. I just noticed when Caitlin Clark gets with these black girls, she doesn't do that well. They take it to her. Them black girls are going to be, she has trouble. And I noticed that when they were playing, I think West Virginia last week, but it's going to be good, man. This rematch. LSU and Iowa in the Final Four, the semifinal. Oh my God, that's gonna be good. I'm excited about that. I think I'll order a pizza. I don't know if I'll have an adult beverage on a weeknight. I don't know. We'll see. I might do it. I just might do it. Pick up a pie, watch some women's basketball. I think it'll be fun. I've been enjoying it. I've been really enjoying it as a casual fan. And the Kim Mulkey piece from Washington Post dropped yesterday. I saw someone on Twitter. I was like, oh, shit, I'm on it. And I started reading it. It's a good piece. It's a profile on her. It's about her life. It's definitely worth reading, but it's just, you know, she came up rough. Her dad left her mom and her sister, and she made a way for herself. She was maybe kind of under the wing of Pat Summitt a little bit. She coached at Louisiana Tech, I believe. La Tech, is that right? And made a great career for herself. She might have been behind the times with the LGBTQ stuff. And players, the women being gay. And I think it seemed like what one of the kids said, one of her former players was saying, she was just, because it was Baylor, because it was the Bible Belt, because that school was so religious, she was just telling the girls to just kind of watch yourself being in these situations like that, so, you know, nothing comes down on you. There's things that are questionable, but it doesn't seem like she's just a hard ass. And it's one of these things, again, not trying to be I think if you listen to this podcast long enough, you'll understand where I'm coming from. But I think if that was a dude, if that was a guy coach that was kind of the same, if it was a guy coaching that women's team who acted similarly to Mulkey, I don't think there would be that much press. I don't think there would be much drama involved. I just think she kind of jumped the gun with coming out saying, you know, whatever this guy, I got my lawyers. It's like, no, she talked to your dad. She talked to your sister. She talked to some of your former players. And I don't think it was that bad at all. I honestly don't think it's bad at all. She's a fully formed, complicated human being just like everybody else. And she's a damn good basketball coach. Is she a little MAGA-ish? Yeah, probably. But who isn't in this country? Not me. Because I don't have that many followers, you know. I don't agree with those policies. But I can tell she's a good coach. And even one of the homies, I think it might have been Bob, might have said on Twitter, Mulkey be running those girls, and they're conditioned. Those girls in LSU, they run. And I just think she's a great coach. You know, she's got her issues just like everybody else. Just like a Bobby Knight. She's not as bad as Bobby Knight. It makes me think of that Melissa McCarthy sketch where she played that she did a version. She was like a version of that Rutgers coach that was hitting the kids and just being abusive. That was an amazing sketch, that Melissa McCarthy basketball sketch. Not because she's a former scene partner of mine. I'm not saying that, because I don't know if that was before or after I worked with her. But it's just been really, it's exciting. I don't think it's that bad. I think they should, I wonder, will they do, this is like an incredible set of ball players and stars this year. It'd be nice if they could do like a Coach Mulkey basketball like they did. I think Rod and I might have talked, I don't think Rod and I talked about it. I just kind of mentioned it, and we talked about it when he was on one time last year around this time. just talking about all the controversy surrounding that championship game last year. And, you know, it would be cool if they had the video game where they had these girls in there. That would be dope. Because it's starting to be, there's not that much that separates a 1 and a 4. You know what I mean? Because it's like that parity that they have in a lot of college and a lot of sports now, especially in college, because all these kids can play. It's kids from all over the country that can hoop, and it's more, the talent's more spread out. Somebody that may not be a blue chip might go to a smaller school, or just not necessarily a smaller school or a smaller program, where they can be put at the forefront. They get an opportunity to play and showcase their skills, and not have to sit behind anybody and wait a year or two or red shirt. So it's pretty fun. It almost makes me wish. It doesn't. It makes me. It does make me wish that they made a video game, because that would be fun. If it's players that you know, and it kind of. I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm in the next cup in the championship. Which brings me to the homie Tim Hall has sent me a reel on Instagram of like this from this retro gaming account, and it was NBA Live 95. And I remember vividly when I got that game. I remember, I think I was probably a freshman in high school when it came out. And before then, the best basketball games were, this is also EA Sports, but the best sports games were EA Sports. But prior to that, we had the Bulls versus Lakers in the NBA playoff, Bulls versus Blazers. And maybe we had another game, but there was a Team USA basketball game that came out. There was Jordan versus Bird for Genesis. I was a Genesis guy. And those were so fun. But NBA Live 95 was kind of a game changer, because they had that, did they call it the three-quarter court? Whatever it was like that diagonal view. And that was like, wow, it's different. And it was so fun. And you had all the players there, and it was just amazing at the time. And it made me say, I was telling Tim, I was like, yo, this makes me want to get like a Genesis. I think I might still have my Genesis at my mom's house. And I think I would just need to get a converter. I looked it up from Amazon or something. I think it's maybe $30. I'm going to ask my mom if she's got it somewhere. I think my Nintendo's somewhere. But it made me think, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then I went on YouTube and I said, yeah, dude, it makes me want Bill Walsh college football, because I have all these great memories of that. And then I look at the game. It's so archaic. It's so old. Thinking the technology from 1992 for that Bill Walsh. But at the time, it was amazing. It was so good. And it just looks so old now. But I think I would probably still have a good time playing that. The homie Brian McGinnis, friend of the pod, Playable Characters podcast, he's really into gaming like that. And he does go back. But that nostalgia for that, just like that brings back so many good memories of like, for me, when I got stuff, it would be because I got a good report card, or it was my birthday or something like that. And I just remember my dad taking me down to Waldorf, Maryland, to the video game exchange. And if anybody lives in the PGDC, PG County, Charles County, or DMV or whatever, Waldorf now just is like congested with all the stores. They have like every store ever made down there. My mom and I last, I think it was earlier this month. We were down there, and then we drove down further to like, and I think I might have talked about it before, but we were down there, and it was just like, yo, it's just changed so much. There only used to be the, what was it? St. Charles Town Center. And like some little strip malls here and there, but nothing crazy. But now they've got like all these restaurants and stores and stuff down there. It's pretty cool. I just remember going down to Video Game Exchange. This is before GameStop. Babbage's might have been around, but Babbage's was in like your traditional shopping centers. But at the strip mall, this place, I think it was just like a mom and pop, like privately owned place. But it was a shit. You can buy and trade games. And I remember seeing it. I think I was trading something. And I was like, I think I traded my Sega Saturn or Sega CD. No, it was not the Saturn. No. Sorry. Not the Saturn. It was Sega CD. Sega CD was kind of, it was whack. It wasn't that good. And I think I remember trading it in. And I was like, NBA Live 95? Because I don't think I had seen it in a magazine or anything at all. And I was like, I want that. And I remember getting, it was amazing. Oh, my God. And I remember going to school, but like, have you guys heard of NBA Live? Oh, my God, so good. And they're like, shut up, nerd. No, I didn't say that. But, yeah, that retro gaming, because there's a store that, in my, not far from me, that where I bought my Nintendo Switch, where they do have those games. They have them on the shelf. And it, oh my God, those boxes that they had, those big, the EA Sports had those big little cartridge boxes. Oh my God, that was the shit. So I'm tempted to do that. If I can find my Genesis, I'm going to ask my mom. If I can find it, I might get a couple and hook it up to my TV. I was in Walmart on Friday, not bragging. I was in Walmart and I was just getting some water and some ginger ale. And I'm there and I see this big ass 75 inch TV for like $500. Oh my God. I have a 50 and it's cool, but 75? How great would like The Last of Us or any one of these games look on a huge screen like that? Very, very tempting. So that's that retro gaming. I need to get back into it. Brings back nostalgia. I do get why as a culture we are into that stuff. Nostalgia, because it makes us feel something that maybe we lose, maybe we've lost in our adulthood as we've grown older. But, and I get why they do that in the industry in entertainment, where they will give you these half-baked reboots to try to make some quick money. And it goes back to the Cord Jefferson Oscar speech where he says, you know, 20 million, you have give some people 20 million, they can make four movies. They can make four small movies. It's still a risk. You know, if you pay $200, if there's a $200 budget on a big movie, you're still taking a risk on a franchise that, or IP that's already existed. You're still taking a risk. Why not take a smaller risk and give somebody new a chance with some new ideas? But we're afraid to do that. There's got to be a happy balance and the script's got to be good, you know? So I know what nostalgia evokes. It's these warm feelings. And as you get older, as life kind of, and time just beats the joy out of you. It's good to reminisce and everything, but you can't live in the past too much. But I was thinking about that too, and I forgot to mention it last week, either on the main feed or Patreon. There was this TikTok with a guy who was talking about dine-in Pizza Hut, how it was the shit, like it was just so good, and he was just like kind of reminiscing about the red cups, the pan that the pizza came out in, and the salad bar, the buffet. It was just like, that's when Pizza Hut was good. I think Pizza Hut is still good. I don't know if this is blasphemy or not, but Pizza Hut, and I want to send this, Pizza Hut is still good, but yo, Karen from The Black Guy Who Tips, when she said that she was a Papa John's girl, I think she really is. I really do think she did say that. Papa John's is really good. After they got the Papa John, the original Papa John's out of the paint, something they did, because within the last, I hadn't been back to Papa John's, not because I was trying to be righteous or anything. It was just like, oh, I got a coupon from Papa John's. I'll give it a try again. I haven't had it in a minute. And I got like a thin crust pie, pepperoni, sausage, green peppers, onions. That shit was amazing. And they are consistently good. I've gotten it like 3 or 4 times this year. And I think I'm going to get some for the final 4 for the women's. But it's good. It's amazing. Really good. And I know it's a chain and people, you know, it's still good. It's very good. Their wings aren't great. Do their wings reach the level of Pizza Hut? No, but it's good. It's still good. People shit on Domino's too. Domino's isn't that bad, but I don't think it's as bad as people say it is. But I do think that as far as chain pizza chains go, Papa John's is very good. I think I put Pizza Hut behind it, but back in the day, man, going to Pizza Hut was a shit. Like actually eating in there was great for like after baseball games, or you have like your baseball games and stuff like that. The real though, and I've said this hundreds of times on the show, the best pizza spot to me that I think I've ever been to in my life, talking about nostalgia, is Shakey's Pizza. Shakey's Pizza was the best. If you had, whether you had the thin crust or just the regular crust pizza or their pan, amazing. Amazing. You can warm it up. I didn't know better. We would warm it up in the microwave. It's best to warm stuff back up in the oven if you can, but oh my God, I want pizza now. But I'll wait. Wait a minute, fat boy. But so I have, you know, so it is what it is. But I do miss that. Nostalgia is that's a real thing. And I think sometimes, and like I say on this show a lot, you know, try not to, you gotta hold on to some of that childlike wonder, hopefulness, and amusement or something. I don't know. Even when life tries to bring you down. So I would lobby for Coach Mulkey college basketball. That would be dope. That would be dope. Cause I don't know who else would you pick? Geno Auriemma? I don't know. But I like Mulkey. I like Mulkey. Coach Mulkey basketball. Everybody know how she is. That article they didn't tell nobody nothing that we most people didn't already expect. They didn't really say what her political views were. We can assume, you know. I don't think the article was that bad. Make a video game with her on the cover and get these girls the NIL money. Maybe they can do, if these girls, like Caitlin Clark's probably gone. Paige Beckers might leave. Angel Reese, a Merlander, you know, that's not going to be great, but I'll miss those players because I know them. And fix their fucking faces in 2K. Lexi Brown is gorgeous. And they really fucked her up in 2K. So they got to get, if they want to be promoting these women, make them look right. Make them look as good as the players on the 2K look. If you're going to go through all that, don't just slap some bullshit up. You're going to charge people. It seems like every year, and I fall victim to it, I am no better than anybody else. But I think it's because of how I came up as a kid. It's like, the new roster. Oh, my God, you got to get the new. And the only thing they really upgrade is the sweat. They just sweat better. And I don't think I even have the angle on the fucking game where you could really see all that sweat. There might be a cutaway. Not that I'm looking for it. Pause. But not that I'm looking for it, but it seems like that's the only, like they incrementally upgrade the sweat. I don't know. And I fall victim every year. But I think maybe what I should do if I fall in the trap of getting it, I should just wait till it's like $20. I think that's what I'm going to do, because I could still get fun, have fun with the late edition if I wait a few months, wait till, really, if you wait till December or January, and you could wait and get it. But then one of my friends, like always, I'm going to name it. I just talked about Brian McGinnis. I'm calling people out. Since this is a year of like comedians calling each other out, podcasters and shit, beefing, I saw two comics I kind of know from on the periphery arguing. I think one is a little jealous of the other one's success, because it seems like, let me not do that. I'm just feeding into it. But I'm calling these people out. Brian McGinnis and Jeff Cerulli. Every time a new Madden or a 2K comes out, they're like, and granted, I'll preface this by saying, just like I said, I always fall victim of, oh yeah, Madden, I gotta get it because I've been programmed to get it since I was 12 years old. So I drop $70 on the fucking thing. I do the same thing with 2K. But these guys always say, when I'm on the edge of getting it, or like, I don't know, hey, dude, we'll play together. We'll play online. The Ninja Turtles game. I was going to get it anyway, but it would have been fun to play that type of game and have some nostalgia with guys who grew up around the same time as me. It would be fun to play. Never play. Never give me an invite. Never a text to say, hey, let's play Ninja Turtles. Let's play Madden. Let's play 2K. You guys don't do it. Both of them, are they married? Yes. Am I not? Am I married? No. But still, you say you're going to do something, you should do it. All right. I've said that. What else? Diddy. I had a Diddy story on the Patreon. You can listen to that. It's nothing salacious or anything, but I just rambled about Diddy. Movies, I have not seen any new movies this week. I did rewatch Minority Report. That was great. One of my friends from high school was just mentioning it in conversation. And I was like, oh, shit, I need to watch that again. You're going to make me watch it. So I watched that. I'm hoping to see Monkey Man this weekend. The Dev Patel directed and movies directed and starred in. So that's this weekend. I really want to see that. And Civil War for the are the two ones I'm seeing, hoping to see within the next couple of weeks. And then the big one, Challengers. So that's what I'm hoping to see soon. As far as TV is concerned, I did watch the Gerard Carmichael show, called Reality Show or something like that on HBO. It's pretty interesting. It's about it, really essentially about, I guess, him now being out as gay and all of that, but then him trying to get his family's acceptance. And he said something that was really profound. But it's just the hypocrisy of his parents, where it's like, oh, you're gay and we don't believe in that and blah, blah, blah. But they will obviously live in the house that he bought for him and take the insurance that he pays for them. So that's not cool. And it seems like Gerard is a sad dude. I don't care. It's like that made you... It always goes back to like just this, the money and success does not, it's not everything, but it helps. But it still isn't everything. It's not always going to make you happy. I'd like to see though. I'd like to try it to see if success in money helps. I believe it will. So, but it seems, you know, it just goes to show you. But it's and Bo Burnham's in it too. Whenever they show him, he's got I don't think it's a Pooh Shiesty thing, but it covers his face so you can't see him. And he has a voice modulator, but it's a tall, lanky white dude. So we know it's you, Bo. But he tries to, it seems like he tries to be Gerard's voice of reason in the show. It's interesting. I mean, you know, interesting to watch. And I've also been catching up on BMF. That's always good. It's entertaining. I dig that show. I'm a fan. I think it's, as far as all the 50 Cent shows, you kind of got to say Power is number one, because that was the origin for everything. And it was great. So I would say Power, Raising Kanan, Power Book 2 Ghost, BMF, and then Power Force. That's how I rank those. I've been enjoying it. So I think I got like maybe two or three episodes until I'm caught up on that. But I think that's it, folks. I think I've blabbed enough. I'm going to get back to figuring out what I'm going to talk about tonight on stage. I feel like I'm generating some new material to throw into the pot of my set and try to flesh some things out. And I'll be this weekend. I'll be at the Williams Center in Rutherford, New Jersey, doing a spot. That should be fun. It's always fun. If you're in Jersey, come on out. So everybody, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And I hope you have a safe and happy Easter. And I hope you get all the candy you want and all the discount candy that you would like at your neighborhood drugstore. Thank you again. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you. Talk to you next time. Peace.